Wake up, America. This is William Wallace, coming to you from KHEN, KHENLP 106.9 FM Salida. And tonight we will be looking at foreclosures and bank fraud. A lot of people will say to me, yeah, I know about the money. But then in the next sentence, they'll say, but what if something doesn't work? And that tells me they don't really know about the money. You are having problems with government because you are signing papers you don't read. You don't even feel good about asking questions other than, will the payments be really small and do I get to move in right away? You really have to understand about the money today. Your signature is what creates it. What circumstances are necessary for this to occur? Let me just point that out again. You really have to understand about the money today. Your signature is what creates it. And we'll be looking at what circumstances are necessary for this to occur. When you register anything with the government, you are surrendering your ownership to it, and they are granting you privilege in return to borrow what a moment ago was yours, free and clear. Why did you do that? Registration is a voluntary activity. You don't have to do that. I have not yet met one person who has read all the papers associated with a closing. You know, it's when you go to real estate and you want to buy a house or buy some land, they have this process called closing day, and it's a big deal appointment. You go to the realtors, and what happens? You start signing papers. And she says, initial it here, sign it there. Put your date on it. Now the next paper, sign it here, sign it there. And you do this for half an hour. Let's ask them some questions. If you have ever bought real estate, did you read the papers before signing? Were you offered an opportunity to read them in advance? Were you offered an opportunity to take the papers home for study? Do you understand the meaning and nature of the various businesses represented in the closing process? Now, these various businesses, some of them are a title company, a bank, the realtor, maybe two realtors, a notary public. What are they all doing there? You're just buying a piece of property. Do you know where the money comes from that you kind of borrowed? Did you ever actually see the money or even get a receipt for it? Was it indicated in your bank records? Why then are you still paying taxes on this money you never saw or held? Frankly, friends, will you please explain to me why you were signing those papers when you had no clue about what was happening? When does the bank get paid for the loan it gives you? When does the bank get paid for the loan it gives you? What exactly does the bank extend to you? My last question, just to stir things up here, is what happens to your possession of real estate when you register your property at the county seat? Well, we're going to explore this in some conversation this evening with my guest tonight, who is Jeffrey Mayer, editor and publisher of the Southwest Free Press, which is an avant-garde news source for truth and leadership. Good evening, Jeffrey. Are you there?
I'm here, William. Thank you.
Well, it's good to hear your voice again. And where would you like to start with unveiling the real estate fraud of America?
Oh, where do you begin when you've got a rabbit hole that looks like a simple little hole and it goes down a thousand channels? And it's a difficult thing. We've been spending, and I say we, which is Archuleta County Guard and our law club here in Pagosa Springs, have been researching this for well over 6 months. When I say researching, we're not just, doing something, a few minutes every day. We've been spending hours and hours every day for 6 months, collectively, looking into this whole thing, because none of it started, it just didn't make sense. A lot of it started coming up, and especially when we started hearing in the the news media, major news media, that there was something that wasn't quite right. And then when Deutsche Bank lost 40 homes that they were trying to foreclose on because they couldn't produce evidence, and it's like, wait a minute, you know what? That's a major international bank. How can they not be able to produce the evidence? So we started digging into it, and you know, I'm not an attorney. I don't get legal advice. We just work purely from our personal experience with all our people that we're dealing with, not just locally here, but nationally in different states. And it's the whole banking system itself is so full of corruption and so full of convoluted facades that we've been led astray from the very beginning. I mean, we could go all the way back to 1933 when the whole thing began, but to deal just with the foreclosure and try to keep it as simple as possible, you know, when you go in and sit down at that closing, and it's like you said, you know, most people probably were not offered a copy of their contract or what supposedly they're being told is a contract, you know, a few days beforehand so they could take it home and read it. Well, number one, I'll tell the audience that that document that they signed is not a legal contract, and any contract lawyer who is worth his weight in anything would tell you that, because the person who signs it, which is the person who's creating it, you know, they sign that mortgage. They are the only signature on it, except for perhaps a notary just witnessing the signature. But the supposed pretender lender who says, yes, I have money for you, here it is, and you just need to sign this document, their signature is not on this document at all, anywhere. And if people would pull out those documents and look at them, they will see that throughout the whole thing, it mentions that this document is a security instrument. And by their signing it, this piece of paper, they are literally creating money. It's you can look in Black's Law Dictionary that states very clearly that a security instrument is as negotiable as money. It's like walking up with $300,000 cash in your hands and handing it to somebody and saying, okay, hey, that's great, good for me. Well, the pretender lender who says, I have money to lend you for this nice house that you want, you sign that document, they take it, they stamp it, they deposit that signature into their bank, which is part of the Federal Reserve System, and the Federal Reserve System credits them. In most cases, there's two scenarios that go on with this, and it's hard to know because this whole thing is so convoluted. They've created multiple tangents of how to create money out of it, but they, in most cases, did not have a penny. They didn't go back to the vault, open it up, pull out the $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 of cash off the shelf and set it down and then put it into the buyer, the seller's account. All they do is either do a credit or they take that signature on the note, deposit it as a credit into their account, and then they turn around and credit that to the seller, and then they say, oh, by the way, now you have to make payments on this. They did not put one penny into the thing, and that's numero uno of where the fraud begins, and it goes downhill from there.
Okay, so that's, let's just focus on the closure event, because we don't have a long time. Well, Melody says we can go ahead a little longer, as we got something to say here. What all happens in the closing? Let's just cover that tonight, what it looks like and what it really is, and the stories behind.
Well, you know, as I mentioned, when somebody signs that note, you know, the original word closing comes from many hundreds of years ago, which means it's over, it's done, it's ended, it's completed. It's not. It's a kind of a facade that makes people think, oh well, I came in, you know, I signed this, I was loaned money, and now I have to pay back the loan that I got, which is reasonable. We all want to pay back our legal debts. What happens is that at closing, upon that signature, that is, like I mentioned, that's where the fraud begins. But then the company, like for instance, my mortgage, I purchased a house January 16th of 2004. January 29th of 2004, I got a letter from this loan company that claims that they lend me money. They said, well, we no longer have your note. We sold it. It's gone. Somebody else has it. And I didn't think anything of it. I was totally ignorant at that time as to what was taking place. But because the signature creates a security instrument, and people can look throughout, it's over 90 times in most people's security in their agreement, that is a financial instrument. So what usually happens is that that pretender lender, the one that said, yes, we have money for you, we created the money by our signature, goes into the Federal Reserve System, then they turn around and they said, well, we've just sold the servicing rights and your loan to this company. Well, that's fine, but where's the note? Where's the actual deed, the security instrument itself? They can sell that original right to service to another company, which means that your mortgage money goes to every month to that new company. But in the meantime, they still have that security instrument that they did not pass on. And they will take that and stick it into the securities market, which is the securitization process that the whole world is abuzz about now. And they will sell that note. If, say, the note was for $175,000 that supposedly they loaned you, they get $175,000 from the security market. They were just completely paid off for that whole thing without having to put one penny into it. That security note disappears into a black hole of securitization and pooling scams. And in the meantime, guess what? You're still having to pay somebody else who made money off of, purchasing this agreement. So, and like I'm saying, I'm capitalizing this stuff, in a way that it's superficial, because this the rabbit hole goes down, and we're talking about probably 7, 8, 9, 10 different exchanges that take place with that security note, where everybody is making money on your signature, on your credit, and on your identity. And so it's a huge thing, and that's why, some judges are now saying, well, where's the original note? If you don't have the original note, you can't be the one that has the responsibility, and you are the one that loaned for this property.
That's my next question was going to be about that. If the loan company or the bank doesn't have the note, they can't be charging you for a payment anymore. So there's an illusion, a lie there, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's a company moves to foreclose on somebody, from everything that we've seen, unless they have standing, which is, it's a legal term, they have to have standing, which means that they can prove that they have not only the original note, but they can prove a paper trail showing that all the payments that have been coming in are going to the true correct lender, whoever's holding that note. But in most cases, they cannot do it. And what's happened in the past for years and years and years, that what these lenders would do before the cat got out of the bag is that they would say, we don't have the original note, so here we have an affidavit of lost note. And they would just simply say, yes, we are the holder of the note, but we just can't find it. And we are the holder, here's the affidavit, I swear to it. And the judges would say, okay, that's good enough, sorry, you lose your house. And that bank and that foreclosing company just got your house for absolutely nothing. And then they can turn around and sell it for another, the value of the note again. But the judges, few judges are starting to wise up to that, and that's where Deutsche Bank lost 40 homes in this process, because the judge said, well, wait a minute, where's the original note? And they couldn't find it, and they said, well, that seems like fraud. And they said, no.
The judges who go along with that, the bank's process, and just accept this affidavit of lost note, wouldn't they be creating a crime or be out of line in some way?
Oh, they absolutely, and that's where people are doing what's called a qualified written request, people that are in default or people that are in foreclosure, and even people before that. I mean, just anybody listening right now, if they're not in foreclosure and they've had a house, they've got a mortgage that's over the past 9 or 10 years, probably 99.9% chance that their mortgage is a part of fraud. And all they have to do is begin the process of the paper trail of saying, you know what, I'm concerned that I might be a victim of fraud. Here's my questions, just 20 pages. They, by law, they have to respond to that within 60 days. And that starts the process, because all of a sudden, this company is being put on notice that, you know what, I'm going to check that, make sure that I'm not a victim of fraud here, and you need to answer these questions. And if in 60 days, if they don't answer it, or if they give you what's called a non-response, which most of them do, because they guarantee you that 99.9% chance, they have no clue where that original note is. And what's happening is that people that follow it through and are bold enough, and they can stay in their house, they don't walk away from it, they challenge this, taking the steps, and at southwestfreepress.com we've got the documentation to show and educate people on exactly how the fraud is taking place and what's happening, and people are literally able to gain their house back. The mortgage is gone because it's in, long story short, it's already been paid for multiple times, and they're just trying to commit a continued, you know, extraction of money from the American people. And now you take this scenario and broadcast it out across millions and millions and millions of people across the country, and this is what's taking place. It's a confiscation of wealth. It's a confiscation of people's money in the process of them making two or three or four times the value of the note on top of it. It's unconscionable. It dumbfounds me, the depths that these guys are willing to do, you know, kick out little old ladies out of their house who can't, you know, pay the mortgage or whatever because their Social Security is so little, and they'll just steal it without even a second thought. It's dumbfounding.
So what is happening also with the...
How would you correct that?
What's that? How would correct what?
How would you, if you wanted to take the fraud out of it, how would it be done properly?
Well, you can't take the fraud out of anything. Fraud, according to the Supreme Court, in multiple cases, it vitiates or completely nullifies the contract or the agreement or the piece of paper or whatever it is. So in the very beginning, when these companies... the pretender lenders is what they're called. They pretend to have money, and in some cases, in most cases, it's not really their money. Either it's a credit that they just issue to their own account because of your signature, or they really do have a lender somewhere, you know, that they don't disclose to you. So in the very beginning, this is number two of the fraud, besides your signature creating the money, in one case. In another case, they are not disclosing to you who the real lender is, and then that, again, vitiates the contract or the agreement or the funds, because without full disclosure, it's over with. The whole thing is done. And, you know, everyone's got that 3-day right to cancel. That's 72 hours after the fact. Well, that right to cancel does not start until full disclosure has been given. And that is supposedly what happens at closing. When you sign that contract, you are being told, we are lending you money. And in virtually every case, they are not lending you money, and they cannot prove that they walked into their vault or they took it out of bank account A and transferred it to bank account B, and here's the paper trail to show it. So that's why these guys are starting to freak out. They're realizing the cat's out of the bag, and people are getting treble damages. That's why a lot of times they walk away from the whole case when people start to challenge it, because they know that if they go to court and have to face these things, and somebody comes up with a forensic audit against all the paperwork, that they, not only will the person that's doing this get their house back, all their money back, they will get three times on top of it the value of that note in compensatory damages. And that's why these companies are walking away from a lot of these challenges, because they said we're not going there because we're toast if we go into that. But what they're trying to do, especially in Colorado, which is a non-judiciary, non-judicial state, they just kind of rush it through. As soon as somebody starts to do waffle, they rush right in. They file this paperwork. They file for, you know, foreclosure. The county recorder or the county treasurer, which is the trustee, sets up the sale date, you know, and there's lots of things that they are bypassing as far as the law goes that people can do. So the qualified written request is number one. You want to create a paper trail as wide and as big as you can possibly make it to show that you are doing good faith to say, look, I just want to know the truth. I want to know what is the facts. Am I paying the right party in my payments every month that I'm making? And, you know, the bottom line is no. They cannot tell you or show you evidence that you are paying the real holder in due course of that wet ink originally signed note.
So it sounds like if a person was to go to southwestfreepress.com and do some reading, they might get some insight into the fact that into the idea of what they've bought a property, what really went on, and if they just start asking questions and start collecting their evidence, their forensic audit evidence, they may walk away with getting their money back maybe several times. Is this correct?
Well, yeah, and that's last case. I mean, most of us, you know, we don't want to go into some big, you know, fight and what have you. It's just a matter of, you know, starting the process, qualified written request. They have to respond to you in 21 days stating, yes, we got your request. Then they have 60 days from when they got it to actually respond to it. And each question is very clear, saying, I want documentation of this. I want documentation of that. I want to know where the original wet ink signed note is, because that is the real contract. Whoever holds that thing, to a certain degree, that is evidence that they are the ones that actually control it. But even if I walked into court with, William, your mortgage note and sat it down, you could challenge that and say, okay, you've got the original note. Now, can you prove to me that you have been receiving payments on this note and that you are the holder in due course of this note? Because every note, you know, like when mine transferred from the 16th to the 29th, they should have had a title transfer of that note showing clear title transfer stamped on the document going from one company to the next. Well, guess what? That document does not have any of that stamp. And in addition to that, everybody that's listening now, they can go down to their county recorder's office and they can look into their, you know, put in their name if they've got a mortgage, a deed, or whatever it is, and they can look. And if the company that they're dealing with now, the company that they're paying as the servicer, quote-unquote, most likely that servicing company that claims to, well, we have this title, we own this property, they are not registered with the county recorder. If that's the case, again, there the title is clouded. It's like, well, wait a minute, if that's not registered there, well, then where is the real title? And they can't produce the real note, so that clouds it even more. And then pretty soon there's this cascading series of events. And again, you know, I'm capsulizing stuff in a big way because it's taken us 6 months to get this. But in essence, it's ABC 123. It's very simple math. It's very simple law. It's very simple procedures that these guys have completely gotten away from. And it's going to be their downfall because, you know, they've gotten so greedy and so corrupt in what they're doing, and they just figure, well, you know, most Americans are stupid. Most Americans aren't going to look into this. Most Americans are cowards. They're not going to stand up for their rights, and we're going to be able to walk in and just take their property away. And that's what most people do. They run into this. They just leave their property when they're told to, and boom, they're gone.
Let me, Let me ask this. Then are you saying that these guys are actually acting like investment brokers and they're really transferring like mortgages like they are stocks?
Oh, yes. It goes into a whole pooling. It's a scam. It's probably one of the largest, not just national, but international. We're talking not just the United States and the millions of people that are losing their homes from companies that are claiming to own the property when they don't. They have no right to the property at all, and the property owner, the real holder in due course, either nobody knows who it is, or the original, if there was a real original lender, say at the very beginning, number one, it wasn't disclosed to you. Number two, because the note goes into a pooling scheme where there are, like I've said, a half a dozen or a dozen people that make money in the whole process along it using your name, your credit, and that they're making money on this. And in some cases, the original lender will either A, be completely paid back because all the money that's coming out of this pool, you know, in fact, what happens is that a lot of times, say I'm the lender, or I'm the investor, and you're the pretender lender, and William is the borrower, and William wants to buy a house. You say, we've got the money for you. You come to me and say, hey, we've got a guy that wants a house, and the house is $250,000 that William wants to purchase. You come to me and say, hey, we've got a guy, he's got a house, it's a $500,000 house, we need that money if you want to invest it. And then we say, okay, yeah, let's go for it. And I'll invest that money. They'll take $250,000, put it into the sale towards for the seller, and then William gets his house and he has to start making payments. I'll take that other $250,000, put it into the pooling scheme, along with millions of other homes that and mortgage lenders, so-called lenders, do the same thing. And this creates a huge pot of money that everyone is just simply reaching in and pulling money out. And if the original lender from this pool of money that's coming out is paid back, then the original agreement between William and me should be vitiated, should be done, it's over with. But that's not how they do it. They keep it going, and they keep it going, and they keep it going.
One other thing, and I'll let William carry on, but I'm curious here then. So another, there's kind of like a behind-the-scenes owner in this process, too, because if you can lose property for taxes, where is the ownership that goes to these counties or other government entities that's tied in with this?
Well, there, and now you just hit on a completely, a whole nother bag of worms when it comes to property taxes, because number one, property taxes as they're being implemented across the country are unconstitutional. They are violating the rule of apportionment and uniformity. Whichever way that these guys want to say is going, they're not complying to either one. So technically, even property taxes, if people would just simply realize, and we're getting back to the ABC 1-2-3 of the Constitution. So when they try to do this, technically right now the way it is, it's serfdom. It doesn't matter if you've paid for your house. Say you've worked all your life. You're, 65, 70, 75 years old. You don't owe anything on your house, but guess what? There's the property taxes. And all of a sudden, crunch time comes, there's a health situation and you're having to pay whatever. You can't pay your property tax. Well, guess what? They can come in, sell your property, and you are left on the street. Basically what people are doing is renting. They're renting. That's all they're doing. Even if you own your property outright, the property tax situation basically says, no, we own it. If you don't pay us the taxes that we claim that you owe, we'll take your property and we'll sell it for the taxes. And, so sorry. That's the way it is. But that can be challenged on the constitutional basis. And we've had that in the paper for 6 months. And we've got documents on southwestfreepress.com that people can send in to their assessor's office and say, hey, you know, I want to know, what kind of tax am I paying here? Is it a constitutional tax? Can you please verify this? Can you please document this tax for me? Because I want to stand up for the rule of law. We're a nation of laws, and yet we're getting so far away from the rule of law, even in the courts where people are being foreclosed on. And here in Archuleta County, our judges are, you know, they're taking evidence that is so bogus, including just a simple, clip out of a newspaper from something on a bank that said, yes, we purchased all of these assets from another bank. And this attorney actually came in and used that clip to prove that they held the note of a friend of mine's. And it's like, wait a minute. You know, anybody with a brain in their head is going to look at that and say, well, I mean, that's not justice. That has nothing to do with justice. And courts across the country are following in suit. For the most part, there are some judges that have the guts to stand up for the real rule of law. And I guarantee you that right now we are in direct communication with the government of the state of Colorado and representatives. And this whole thing is about ready to become Mount Vesuvius in exploding, because if something isn't done here real soon, the entire state of Colorado will find itself in a Supreme Court case.
Well,
and
Jeffrey,
it's based on all of this evidence that we're dealing with. I mean, we're dealing with some stuff that's profound, but if we can proceed with where we're going, virtually every home in Colorado, and I suspect across the country, the foreclosures will stop instantly, and this whole can of worms and this whole facade and all these lies and what the attorneys are involved with and these mortgage companies, they're going to, not only are they going to lose their shirt, but they're going to be open to lawsuits for malpractice on the attorney side and for fraud on the mortgage company side. I mean, it's a trillion-dollar industry that's waiting to go belly up. And we're gonna pursue it. I mean, it's unconscionable what these guys are doing and what they've been doing probably since the early 1900s to steal people's properties. It's just a nice scam. That's all it is.
Well, this is very revealing. Glad to hear that the American people are waking up.
They're starting, but it takes a lot more than just, you know, wow, you know, and boy, I don't like that. And you know, we can all get upset about things, but it's a matter of, well, what are we going to do about it? So we got to be proactive. If we want to take our country back, if we want to take our counties back, if we want to keep our homes, we have to say, okay, then I think I'd better, you know, turn off the TV and for a little while, an hour or two a day, and start to read some of these documents and realize what's going on, and talk to my friends, and go down and talk to the county commissioners, and talk to the recorder's office. I mean, it doesn't matter. Just start to talk to people and realize what's going on, and start to become proactive and protect yourself. Because a lot of this stuff that people can do, you don't have to be in foreclosure. You can literally start the process of a qualified written request. I don't care if you did it just a few years ago or 5 years ago, and you're in perfect, I'm making my payments. Well, you know, why should I, you know, worry about this? Well, if they just made three times the value of your home because of the fraud that they're doing, and the original lender's already been paid off, and you know, it just gets into contract fraud and all this kind of stuff. You can start this process and say, I just want to know. Will you please tell me this, and can you please document, because I'm concerned that maybe I'm a victim of identity theft, I'm a victim of fraud in this huge banking industry and what's going on, and I just want to make sure that I am repaying out of conscience the correct party that lent me the money. If you lent yourself the money by signing that note and they put it in the bank, well, you know, you lent yourself the money. If it was somebody else, many times what happens is that person, because the economy is hard, the pretender lender will go to them and say, well, yeah, you borrowed $500,000 But, you know, we've got a problem. There's some foreclosure issues and stuff. Well, we've only got $250,000 that we can give you to pay you back. I mean, it's just, you know, one of those things. It's a loss, and they'll say, okay, fine, I'll take it. They just ate $250,000, and guess who got to keep it? It's incredible. And I know many people will be hearing this, and they'll think there's no way this is going on. Well, I'm in the process of dealing with the Federal Trade Commission, the FBI, the Department of Justice. I'm bringing this stuff out to them, and we, and I not just me, I mean groups and groups, and we're talking many people that are involved with this in foreclosures, some people in foreclosures that they created themselves because they knew there was fraud going on. People will freak out when they realize the depth of what's going on, and I suspect that if they really knew how deep it went and how screwed we have all been over the past, you know, decades, many decades, there'd be a revolution tomorrow morning.
Well, that information is coming out.
It is.
It takes the individual person to do the homework. We can't sit back and wait for somebody else to do it. That's laziness. And laziness is what has gotten us into the problem that we're in today. And it's ambition, getting up off our chairs, turning the TV off, or throw it out in the street, and start doing our research and finding out what's really going on, getting the facts, getting the records, talking with other people, getting into talk groups, make your own if you can't find one, and start sharing this information and asking questions and keep pursuing until we get to the bottom of it. It's going to get us free again.
Yeah, and stay tuned. Like I said, we're dealing with a representative from the Colorado government that is extremely interested in this whole thing, and all it would take is one lone voice in some authority like that to bust this open, not only for Colorado, but because of all the other non-judicial states where it's just so easy for these companies to walk in, you know, pick the property up and walk out the door. And the judges are just saying, oh, yeah, well, they've got this, and they must be the owners of the note, and too bad, you know. And Coloradoans, everybody in Colorado is being royally screwed because of some of the laws that are under, you know, are in effect right now. And we're trying to make some changes into that thing, too, because it's all antiquated. You know, at one time there was a situation where you went into a bank, you borrowed the money, they had the note. Guess where the note was? It was in their vault. That's where it stayed. If there was a foreclosure, somebody really couldn't pay the money, then they brought it forth, and there it was, right in court, right in the treasurer's office. Here it is, Your Honor, wet ink signature. And it was an open and closed deal, and then they created what's called Rule 120, which was a fast track for this because everybody could produce the real note. Well, since 2000 or 2001, nobody could produce, or 99 out of 100 could not produce the real note. And Rule 120 all of a sudden became a chain around our necks, and it's been this fast track to where they knew it. The mortgage company could say, hey, we'll just go Rule 120 in Colorado. They go in, Rule 120 says, are you in default? That's all they care about. Have you not paid payments for the past 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10, 12 months? Well, no, Your Honor. Boom. Doesn't matter. Nothing else matters unless you really know how to go in and say, you know, Your Honor, I'm challenging this and this and this and this and this, and here's my evidence. Qualified written request is evidence. Various other things are evidence. But we're going to work on changing the legislation, including emergency legislation, to stop this entire foreclosure process across the state of Colorado. And I dare say that this person that we're dealing with, if they proceed with this, it will they'll be a hero in Colorado, and they'll also have national coverage, you know, for every state, because every state, especially the non-judicial states, are in the same boat. They are basically, Colorado right now has unconstitutional law, and if this goes the way some certain people are trying to take it, it will go directly to the Supreme Court. And if it goes to the Supreme Court, Colorado is toast. And that's not good for any of us. We don't want Colorado to be toast. We don't want, you know, those things to happen. But if our government is refusing to give us remedy, and, you know, deal with these things, then we have to do it. We have to, you know, we have to go in there and we got to spank them. That's the way it is. And some of us, all of us, you know, will bear the brunt of, to a certain degree, but if it saves, you know, 100,000 homes in Colorado, I figure, hey, it's going to be worth it because that's going to get their attention and they're going to change things and we'll get start to get some justice and some equity in the courts.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Jeffrey, for various interesting and eye-opening conversation here about fraud and the illegal procedures going on. Again, let's mention that you are the Southwest Free Press out of Pagosa, and you have a website, southwestfreepress.com, where people can learn a lot more about this. And thank you so much. And we look forward to getting you back again for some more topics.
And we can get more people that are more educated in this whole thing, that are involved with court cases and the whole thing. We could get them on. And, you know, and if people, if your audience has questions or something, you know, they can either write them down and write to you guys or contact us through the Southwest Free Press. And, you know, we're here to build bridges. We're here to build community. We're all brothers and sisters in this fight to defend our freedoms and defend our rights and our property. And unless we start working together, you know, we're never going to make it. We've got to group together and we've got to stand up for this idiocy, against this idiocy and you know, start to take, and believe me, that's all it takes.
That's all it takes. We are the way, the truth, and the light. And unless we stand up and make a noise and be that light, be the voice, and carry the vision forth, we won't have anything. But if we do, we will have our freedom. We will have an America restored back to the constitutional republic it once started out as, and it's going to be that way again.
Again,
so help us God.
And that, again, your name is Jeffrey. Is it Mayer?
Mayer, M-A-E-H-R. Yep, just good old Austrian
and,
name.
And that's with the Southwest Free Press, correct, out of Pagosa Springs?
Yep.
Okay, great. Well, again, William and I both thank you for coming on our program this evening. And
glad to do it anytime. Anytime it deals with helping people, and there's a lot of stuff out there that people would be dumbfounded at how easy it would be to just stand up and you know, start to implement the simplest of things. It all boils down to ABC 1-2-3. What is the foundation? If we're not on the foundation, then, you know, that's where we get a lot of symptoms and a lot of problems and headache and heartache and financial problems, and we can remedy it.
And yes, and it seems like there's more and more people out there that are starting to stand up and pay attention. And again, thanks.